In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen.
Just like in school, we all have a curriculum, and in the church, forefathers has put together a lectionary of the different readings that are read during the Sundays and the days of the year. And during the first Coptic month, before this month, the very first Coptic month, the church speaks to us about the work of the salvation of God the Father for our salvation. Now we're in the second month, and in this second month and in the third month, the church talks to us about the work of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, for our salvation. And as we heard in today's gospel, one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind, and mute. And the Lord Jesus, with his full authority, healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And we read and we hear about many miracles of healings of demon-possessed people throughout the Gospels. For example, there's the Canaanite woman. And the Canaanite woman said her daughter was what? Did she say her daughter was demon-possessed? She actually said her daughter was severely demon-possessed. So we see there are different levels, just like there's different levels of virtues and saints all the way up to Saint Mary, our mother. We can, in our life here, go through stages where we can fall in different levels on the negative side as well. So there was a woman whose daughter was severely demon-possessed. Even worse than that, there was a man in the country of the Gadarenes. And when the Lord cast out the demons from him, we learned from the dialogue that happened that the evil spirit said it wasn't just one demon. Anyone know roughly how many demons were there? It says a legion. A legion, like the term in military usage as well, a legion is 1,000. There was 1,000 demons possessing that man who was healed by the Lord in the story in Mark 5. Also, Mary Magdalene was healed of how many demons? Just one? 7 demons. So we see that, God forbid, there can be different stages or different levels of people who are demon-possessed. Today's story, one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. This is natural. If someone is possessed by the devil, either they're going to be, the devil's going to control them so that they're mute and blind, or the devil can convulse them and have them act in a crazy manner. And by the way, not everyone who's crazy is necessarily demon-possessed. Someone could be crazy for a variety of medical or psychological reasons, but this specific individual was demon-possessed. We'll put that on hold for a second, and we'll talk about something else just briefly. And we'll ask a question, but I don't want everyone to answer. Only if you're, say, 30 or under, answer this question. Who has a room at home? I'm more than 30, but I'll answer. You don't have a room at home? Who has a bedroom, your own room? Okay. Now, who has a clean room at home at this point in time? Excellent. So there's a few people who have a clean room at home. I didn't want the adults to answer so that we don't embarrass anyone, but most of the children have a clean room at home. Okay, you have a clean room. You like your room? Yes? Especially when it's tidy and clean? Okay, let's make it even better than that. What if one of the fathers comes to your home and he wants to do a prayer in your home, and he says, "Ipek, I'm going to do the prayer in your room or in your room." So he's going to come with his incense. He has a kit when he comes to your home. Say he's doing an unction prayer for the sick, or he's just blessing the home, and he's going to pray in your room. Would that be nice? Yeah, he's going to pray in your room. He's going to make your room not only clean, tidy, sanctified, and holy. And it's going to be full of what kind of smell? A holy smell, full of incense. Okay? What if instead... Okay, so that's your decision. Everyone likes to have a Buna come to their room and pray in the room? I would, yes. What if instead I decide, no, I don't want a Buna to come in my room. I want instead to take a whole bunch of bags of garbage and recycling, you know, the green bin full of decayed and disposable waste. And I want to put that instead in my room. I want to dump it all over my room. And what happened to my clean and tidy room? It's disgusting. Would you want to sleep in that room? No, I wouldn't want to go near your room. So actually, each of us is like that room. Each of us is not only like that room, each of us is like a house. Houses have doors and windows, and we often put screen doors because we don't like insects to come into our houses, and we put security systems because we don't like bad guys to come into our house and do stuff we don't like them to do. We're the same way. We're like that house or we're like that room. We could either let God the Father and His Holy Son and the Holy Spirit come dwell in our house, in our room, make it holy, sanctified, tidy, clean, pure, or we could take a whole bunch of garbage and dump it in our room. Now, how clean were you? If you are the room, at what point in your life were you ultra, super clean and holy? When you were born? When you were born of the Spirit, so when you were baptized, because you were completely clean, Abuna actually breathed in your face and said, if there's any evil spirits, get out. And your mom or dad, when you were a baby, they carried you, and on your behalf, they said they denounced the devil. They don't want any devils to have any possession or anything to do with you. And then they turned around towards the east, and they raised their right hand and followed Abuna's lead and said, they accept God, they accept the Holy Spirit to dwell on you. So on that day, you were like your tidy room, all clean, spick and span, holy, full of God's presence and blessing. Now, throughout my life, sometimes I mess up my room. And when I mess up my room, sometimes I could choose to clean it up and have Abuna come and pray and cleanse the room. Or, God forbid, I could decide, no, I want to make it even more messy and more dirty. And you know what, that trash, I'm going to eat the pizza and throw it in the room. And I'm going to eat an apple, throw it in the room. And maybe I don't realize it. I'm not to the extent of dumping the whole green bin and garbage in my room. But I am throwing garbage in my room. What's attracted to garbage? Are good things attracted to garbage? No. Insects and all kinds of things that deal with the corruption. You're not attracted to garbage, but if you put garbage in your room, there's things that are attracted to the garbage that will come, and they'll happily dwell in your room. You don't want them there, but you didn't realize that by throwing the garbage around in your room and not keeping your room clean, those insects naturally want to come in your room. Now, does God leave you if you throw garbage in your room? No. But if I throw garbage in myself, does God leave me? No. But is He very happy with me if I'm doing that? My room here or my house has 5 doors and windows. The senses, my eyes, my ears, my tongue, my senses, my hearing. If I let garbage into my room, into my house, God's not necessarily going to leave me, but He's not going to be too thrilled. He's not happy with what I'm doing with my room because He gave it to me clean on the day He gave birth to me in baptism. Okay? So I need to keep the room clean. If I dirty the room, the Lord gave me an easy solution. Come quickly and clean it up. Come clean it up. Make an effort to clean it up. Don't tell your mom to clean it up. You have to clean up your own room. And then go to Abuna to come and pray so that you can be cleansed again and go back to the same state you were when you were born of the Holy Spirit. Because there is another option, God forbid, because the Holy Spirit that dwells in me, if I make Him unhappy by putting garbage in my eyes, you're not literally putting garbage. You're looking at bad scenes. That's putting garbage in your eyes. Garbage in my ears, you're listening to bad things. Either you're listening to people gossip about someone, or you're listening to bad songs that are full of words that are not appropriate. Things like that nature. Or my hands are doing bad things, or my feet are going to bad places, or my heart is full of hatred to someone. All that is garbage I'm putting in. If I put garbage in, the Bible has a term for the first stage. If I'm just doing it a little bit, then the Holy Spirit's not too happy with me. That's called grieving the Spirit. Okay? We don't want the grieving means sad. You made the Spirit sad. You made God sad. He's not happy with you if you do that. Okay, what if I say, no, I'm not stopping here. I'm going to keep doing more and more garbage in, garbage in. And by the way, there's an expression in computer science, garbage in, garbage out. So if you put garbage in, naturally, the stuff that's going to come out of your mouth is going to be garbage. Whatever you're putting in your mind is going to come out of your mouth. Whatever you're putting in your heart is going to come out. Maybe I could hide it for a little bit. At some point, when I'm pressured, it's going to come out. When the Lord was pressured, whatever was inside of him came out. What came out of the Lord when they pressured him and nailed him and spit on him and whipped him? What came out of him? Any garbage? No. All good things. Father, forgive them. Because he is full of goodness. So naturally, if you have an orange, you squeeze the orange, you're going to get orange juice. If you have something good and you squeeze it, good stuff will come out. If you have something bad, you squeeze it, bad stuff will come out. So if I put corruption and dirt and stuff in my house and I'm squeezed, bad stuff is going to come out. Okay, but let's keep going with this analogy. So the first day, say, God's not happy with me, I'm grieving the Spirit, and I'm refusing to repent. Then I insist, I'm stubborn. My mom or dad tells me, no, you shouldn't really watch that stuff. Okay? No. I'm just looking at it. Then you're more clever, and you're like, well, mom's not looking, I'm going to do whatever, no one's going to know. And now you're going to another level of badness here. Here you're not only grieving the Spirit, of course, God's not happy, but you're resisting. He's trying to pull you back to save you, and you're pushing back against him. Like, in today's reading, it was the same word resist was used. But who are we told we're supposed to resist? Satan. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We're not supposed to resist God. We're supposed to work with God, and God works with us. But if instead we resist God, then the devil's happy. He's like those insects seeing garbage there, and he's willing to come and hang out wherever the garbage is. So first stage is if I'm doing bad stuff, refusing to repent, perhaps I grieve the Holy Spirit, then I'm more stubborn in refusing to repent, resisting the Holy Spirit. Then, God forbid, it could get to a level where you're actually trying to kill God's Spirit. Of course, you can't kill God's Spirit, but just like a candle when it's lit, if a deacon's holding a candle and he puts his hand on it and there's no air coming in, what's he doing? He's choking the candle. So the third stage is like you're choking God's Holy Spirit, and that's called quenching the Spirit. The Spirit's there, but you're not benefiting from God's Spirit because he's trying to lead you to the Lord for your sake, not for his sake. He doesn't need you to go to the Lord, but for your sake, but you're quenching the Spirit. God forbid. So those are the dangerous stages that sometimes we let ourselves slip into: grieving the Spirit, resisting the Spirit, quenching the Spirit. First stage, God's not happy. Second stage, you're actually fighting against God. Instead of resisting the devil, you're fighting against God. And third stage, God forbid, we're quenching the Holy Spirit and like putting out a candle. And this is the danger of all this, is because if the Holy Spirit is not living in me, is not living comfortably in me, if I'm tying him up in the corner and I don't want to hear anything from the Holy Spirit, so I'm choking him, or he tries to tell me, you know what, you should really come to church on Sunday. No, I'm tired. You're resisting him. Or he's telling you to repent from a sin. You say, no, I like that sin. Who says it's wrong? Well, he said, well, it says right here, and it says the danger. He said, no, don't want to hear it. So if we're grieving, resisting, quenching the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit's like, even though he's all-powerful, but he gave us all free will. So he's not going to force himself on me. If he sees that I don't want him around, then he's just going to, in the corner, be grieved. He's going to stop resisting you after a while because he's not going to force it upon you. And ultimately, it's as if you killed the Holy Spirit. And if that happens, God forbid, then we're in a very dangerous state, because we are meant to be possessed by the Spirit of God. If we're not possessed by the Spirit of God, then we leave ourselves open for all kinds of other spirits. Maybe one, maybe seven, maybe 1,000, God forbid. Has anyone seen someone who's demon-possessed? Okay, well, there are people who are demon-possessed in the Far East and in Egypt and stuff, and it's pretty scary what the devil does with them. Whether we know it or not, there's lots who are demon-possessed around us, but the demons of the Western culture are a bit more clever, and they don't make people convulse and do all kinds of scary things. They make them look like they're just normal people. They make them look like they're good people in society. They make them look like, you know, you wouldn't know the difference. You see someone out there who's demon-possessed, you wouldn't know. But they are demon-possessed because they are doing what the devil wants. If I am God-possessed, I'm doing what God wants. The only difference between me being God-possessed and, God forbid, if I'm demon-possessed, if I'm God-possessed, I'm being led by God. He's not forcing me to do anything. If I leave myself to be, I don't want to be led by God, then fine, it's my free will God gave me. If I choose I don't want to be led by God, I will be led by someone. And that someone is not just going to lead me. He's going to possess me and torture me and torment me, but not right away. Because the devil is very clever, especially in the Western culture. He's going to dangle a carrot in front of me, and I'm going to keep chasing that carrot. I don't realize there's a trap door. I'm going to fall under the trap door, just like they do to animals. They put something, the animal goes, and then they're trapped in the forest. The devil's doing the same thing with me. If I'm trapped, God forbid, then if I've let the door open for the devil to come in, no one's to blame than me. If I leave my house open and I put garbage in my house and then I complain that some wild animal, wild beast came in or some flies are coming into the house, what are you going to complain about? You left the garbage in the house and you invited the unclean animals to come into the house. There's nothing for me to complain about. There's something for me to do. Get rid of the trash from the house, close the doors, put the security system on, then you're safe. But if I'm taking the garbage in, and if a friend of mine calls and they want to talk about something, and even if it sounds like, you know, we're doing a good deed, but they're talking about people behind their back and all this stuff, and I'm partaking of it, you're putting a little bit of trash into the house. Okay? So if I put the trash in, I have to take the trash out. Then I have to go to my confessional father who has been given the ability to, once I'm willingly saying, yeah, I want to take out the trash, he's been given by the ability of God to tell the Holy Spirit, please wake up and work with him again. He wants to come back. Michael messed up his room, but now he's trying to clean it up, work with him to sanctify his room so that he can not only be cleansed of the evil spirits, but so that we can open our eyes and see the goodness in our lives that God has given us. Because when we're blind, all we see is darkness. If I'm not able to see, then the only thing I see is darkness. So I'm very pessimistic. I see the evil in everything. I see the bad faults of everyone. I don't see the bad faults of myself, but I focus on everyone else. But if I open my eyes, then I see things for what they are. I see that, hey, I mess up just like everyone else, likely more than everyone else. And God's very merciful with me, just like he is with everyone. So I'm not here to look for faults in everyone else. I'm there to look in the mirror, see the blemishes in myself, work with them, get rid of the garbage in my life, so that the Lord may bless my life. Glory be to God forever. Amen.
We believe in one God, God the Father, the one Creator, who created heaven and earth and all things seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Lord, created.
God, begotten, created, who was his Father, who was in the made, who
for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate, the Holy Spirit and Virgin Mary, and became man, and he was crucified for us and Pontius Pilate, suffered and buried and served the heroes from the dead. Ascending to heaven, he set the right hand of his Father, and he's coming again. No end. Yes, whom leaves the Holy Spirit, the Lord of God giver, who proceeds from the Father, who the Father and Son is worshipped and glorified. And in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church, we confess that
we look for the resurrection.